Morning, everybody. It's a pretty good turnout, 8:30. Should we maybe establish this as tradition, 8:30 in the morning? I think there's a split decision there, a little more on the side of 8:30, but we'll see. Anyway, this is a very good turnout. A number of people have indicated to me how pleased they are they're going to Prince George because they have never been to Prince George. How many people, if you don't mind admitting, you've never been to Prince George? Well, we sure made the right decision. More people have been to Kamloops, we found out. So that turns out to be a great decision. Before we begin the session on recommendation 3, are there any comments, any announcements? Chris.
Yeah, Jack, and good morning, members. Coming in this morning, I noticed on the wall out here a cartoon by Chuck Walker. I would like to make a request to the assembly to see if it was possible that we might be able to get a copy of that. I personally would like to have that for my scrapbook.
Chuck, do you give us permission? Where's Chuck? Give us permission? Great, we'll do it. Yeah, there's a funny old-looking man on the top of that truck. Diana.
Good morning, everybody. Following Chuck's art, I'm almost ashamed to offer this, but I've been told my arm's going to be twisted unless I read this poem to you. The Citizens' Assembly, who are we? Simply put, we are the face of BC. Young and old and all ages in between, as great a diversity as has ever been seen. From across the province, we come to Vancouver to meet, where, in the center of dialogue, we each take a seat. So what are we doing? Why are we here? Coming together many times through the year. We are charged with the task of looking how we elect those who govern this province, the MLAs we select. First, we must listen and must learn such a lot. But with some experts to help us, we'll give it a shot. Jack, Ken, and Campbell make quite a team. There isn't much they don't know, or so it would seem. Despite all their knowledge, they are all down to earth, and even dry topics produce moments of mirth. Behind these three fellows is a wonderful staff who work like the Dickens, doing nothing by half. Though they work long, weary days, mostly spent on their feet, they are unfailingly helpful and very upbeat. The months ahead will see each of us grow. To do this is a privilege, which of course we know. This year will be special in so many ways, something we shall remember to the end of our days.
Tia.
I'm glad you read that, because I was going to twist your arm this morning. Similarly along those lines, I showed Jack a card I received in the mail from this lady, I don't know who she is, from Duncan, and she mailed this to me, and the note just says, "Hello, Taya. I recently saw the write-up about the Citizens' Assembly in the Cowichan Valley Citizen. Aside from this being such an exciting and unusual undertaking, I wanted to congratulate you on your commitment to democratic process and its improvement. If I can ever be of service to you or your family or friends, please let me know." And I just thought that was so cool, because it applies to all of us and how we actually are reaching people and people are interested in what we're doing. So,
thanks, Taya. And we who are the staff who serve the members of the assembly, we all say we could not have a better group of assembly members. The random process was a miracle, as far as we're concerned. Now, we have members of the public, and we're pleased you're here, but members of the public do change, and I just have to remind you that you cannot ask questions of members of the assembly or interfere in any way with the assembly business. I've been asked to say that on behalf of a couple of members. Jim.
Yes, I'm arranging for a dilemma for 1 o'clock, to the airport. I need to know how many members will be going. So if I need two limos, I'll have to book them shortly. Leave your name at the front desk, and then I'll arrange everything.
Thanks, Jim. Any other comments or questions before we get to business? Susan.
Can we also get a copy of Diana's poem?
Please? I have a hunch we'll publish it in the members' bulletin. How's that sound? Okay?
Excellent. Thank
Great.
You.
Great. Thanks. Anything else? Great. The lights seem to be brighter today. I don't know why that is, but so I'm having a little bit more difficulty seeing you than I might otherwise. We are now going to go to the discussion of Recommendation 3. We had a great discussion yesterday, by the way, and I think everybody, almost everybody I've met, has said they're so pleased about the decision that we are going to have a late June meeting, that we're going to get together, and that we will have a chance to discuss and bring together what we have learned from the public hearings at one time, pull it together while it's still fresh. And, of course, for those who can't attend, it has been asked, and we'll respond. We will tape some of the sessions, or we will certainly write them up in such ways that so that the summaries are available to everybody. And we've had a very good discussion on the forum. Now, I know that everybody is not participating in the forum, but there's been a very good discussion of Recommendation 3 and a very diverse set of views. And that has been gratifying, and as I indicated yesterday, the hard copies of those have been at the help desk. I want to suggest we have roughly an hour, and I think we'd all like to see is to come to a conclusion, one way or the other, on this one. And I would like to suggest the following process. First, that we look at Recommendation 3 as it is to see what's there. In essence, what does it say? That is, in terms of basic principles. Secondly, I would like to review 7 or 8 of the major questions that have been raised in the forum. I have not been responding to the forum. This is for members to talk to each other. I am a member, of course, but I thought that would go back and forth. But I'd like to identify 7 or 8 of the major questions or comments, and I will give a very brief reply to those. And then third, we will have an open discussion, a half hour or so, of relating to the key ideas, that is, the idea of a presentation to the Assembly in September, that they will be selected by a committee of the Assembly, that we will have fair criteria, that we'll look for a balanced set, and that anyone who presents to us must first present at a public hearing. We will have about a 30-minute discussion or so, and if we've determined, or we'll wait 30 or 40 minutes, and then we probably will establish whether or not there is support for, in principle, Recommendation 3. In principle, support means, in essence, there's support for the 3 or 4 key elements of Recommendation 3. And if so, then we will work to capture all the suggestions that have been made, the specific things about criteria, process, and membership, and fix that up and bring to you at our next meeting a final recommendation for formal approval. Does that seem reasonable as a process? Okay. What have I missed? I think that's it. First of all, then, let's go to Recommendation 3, and you've got it in your book. On the top, it says January 30, 2004, Revised Recommendation 3. And there's a few points I want to make on this, and largely through comments that members have given to me for clarification. First of all is the recommendation itself, and that is, it says that we will have presentations in the first weekend in September. If this is passed, as in principle, there will be a couple of small little changes to that. I'm kind of advising you in advance, and you can respond to this later. In all probability, it will envisage two and a half hour sessions. That is, not 8 hours. Two and a half hour sessions. Maybe an afternoon and a morning. Okay. Secondly, it'll put time limits in there. One member who has had probably more experience doing public hearings than anyone else in BC, maybe, has said, put time limits in there. Put it into your resolution. So probably we'll have something like time limit of 25 minutes each, 10 minutes for a presentation, 15 minutes for question and answer with the presenter, okay? Under rationale, there is a correction to be made there. It says the Assembly has a responsibility to hear the views of all British Columbians. Of course, that was a slip. Not all British Columbians. We're not going to walk down the street and talk to everybody who's there. That is, we have a responsibility to hear the views of British Columbians who are interested in making some kind of a submission to the Assembly. Just a small little correction there. Under final recommendation, again, a small correction, but I think we should make it. It says in the third line that the Assembly would benefit from consideration from a few comprehensive, well thought out. That really should say some, several, or something, but not a few. Under proposal, presentations committee. In essence, what we are saying here is that a committee of the Assembly, of Assembly members, will select the presentations to be heard. That's essentially what it says. But there is a clarification to be made. This is now several members have pointed this out to me over the last day, and those members who are from the Interior. It says member presentations, the presentations committee will be chosen by a random draw of those members interested in serving, and the members will be selected from three regions. The regions now should read the island, Lower Mainland, and the rest of BC. The Interior does have, is not just seen as one place. So it's the island, Lower Mainland, and the rest of BC. And we'll detail that later. Then finally, under criteria for selecting presenters, in essence, what we say here is the selections will be made against known criteria. And the most important criterion is the matter of balance, that we will hear from basically all the basic options that are before us to from which we will make a final selection. And then finally, applications for presentations. The basic thing here is that all applicants must apply and must make a presentation to a public hearing. That's the essence of that. So when we say that we're looking for in principle approval, it's in principle for those essential ideas in that proposal. Now, I would like to just very quickly review some of the key questions that came out of the forum that was on the web. And by the way, my hard copies are about 20 pages long or something of that sort. So there are a lot of good discussion. And again, I want to thank all those people, regardless of what position you took. It was really very healthy, I thought, a very great discussion on the forum. Some of the general questions. The first, of course, one that we have is that there, of course, was opposition. Some people took opposition to any advocacy presentation at all. And their main reasons were the time it takes, the dollars, and that it would be redundant. We've heard those before. And we may get in discussion some other reasons for not doing it. In terms of response, I'd like to quote one of our members, Shoni. She says, quote, I see these submissions to the whole Assembly as critical to positioning our work as legitimate. It maximizes our credibility and openness. I have to tell you, in my fairly long experience, I'm probably the third oldest person in this group, in public organizations, that it has never been a mistake. Never been a mistake to be open and credible right to the end. To always be open and be accessible. You can't go overboard in being open and accessible. It seems to me, and I have to say, and I feel about it reasonably strongly, that this assembly was created by British Columbians for British Columbians. Our assembly should not be exclusive. We ought to invite, to all practical ways, everybody we can to meet with us and to have a dialogue with us. And, of course, we can set up a system that will be seen as fair in terms of the criteria and selection or whatever. But it's very important that we be seen by the public and the press as open and credible and fair. And one thing I have learned, I suppose, in my life, and I guess we have, is that I have enormous faith in the public. The public has a very keen sense of fairness. And when you're not fair, you're not credible. So that would be my point on that one. And that will be the last. I will not take part in the debate that follows later. It'll be your debate. Secondly, a question was, and this is an apology on my part, said that Jack Blaney mentioned we have over 72 inquiries. That was an exaggerated statement, or I don't know exactly. I don't know how many inquiries we've had. We've not kept the list. We just had many. We could have far more, fewer. I don't know how many applications we'll have. We have over 72 written submissions already. We do know that. How many applications we'll get, I really don't know, but I want you to correct that. Third, another comment made, the first session of September should be to review what we heard in public hearings. This was quite a frequent comment, but now we have the June meeting, which will then pull together all that we've heard in the public hearings. A fourth comment is the timing is wrong. We should do it in April. The responses to that are practical. It would diminish the importance of the public hearings because the recommendation is we require people to go to the public hearings first, and we will select from those. The other is, of course, April is not very far away. We must, by about the 18th of March, make a decision about what three or four options we're looking at. And by the time we do that, my hunch is we do not have enough time to tell the people of BC about that and then hold the presentations in April. So that's just a practical matter. Five, advocacy presentations will be made only by special interest groups and big organizations. Well, I'm not quite, and a lot of members replied to that very nicely. I'm not sure what the special interest groups are. We are a special interest group. Those people who created the Citizens' Assembly are a special interest group. Special interest groups are part of democracy. In the end, our members, the committee that we establish, will select who comes. Not the big people, the big organizations, whoever they are, I don't know who they are, we will select. We will finally make that decision. There was the comment that if we have any advocacy presentations here, if it passes, that they should be in the concourse and not in Asia Pacific Hall. And there were views on both sides of that. I would suggest that be a separate question, that we look at recommendation three first, decide whether we are going to hear presentations, and then after that decide whether it's here or in the concourse. Finally, a question, a fact. Will the presentation committee report on the reasons for its decision? I'm sure it will, to the members, but we will have to respect the Privacy Act, of course, in terms of how much detail we give about individual presenters. And secondly, will applicants be required to submit a description of their proposed presentation so that it can be properly reviewed? And that was asked several times, and the answer is, of course, that is yes. That is the intention of Recommendation 3, that when people apply, they'll let us know what they intend to say to the Assembly. So we're going to go back now to the essence of the recommendation and a discussion by all members. Susanna is going to help me keep a speaker's list. We are going to take each new speaker first before we go back to somebody who's already asked a question. Okay? And if there's a point made, let's say Wayne makes a point, but the next person on the speaker's list is Jill, but Brad really wants to come in. He just wants to speak to that point of Wayne. Well, just look very excited. And maybe wave both hands or something like that. And we'll try and get you in on that point, if you can be brief, Brad, you know. So we'll try that to our very best. And so essentially we're going to look at the essence of the recommendation, that we hear presentations selected by members against clear criteria. And about 40 minutes from now, we will see whether there's support for that. And if there's support for that in principle, then we will take this away, clean it up, take into consideration the other things that you talk about, and bring back a detailed recommendation for formal approval 2 weeks from now. It's open for discussion. Taya.
Okay, forgive me if I'm being a little bit forward, but I don't think that there's another option. I think we owe it to the public. We need to do this. I also think that, like you were saying, time limits, certain specifics need to be addressed so we don't have, so the little people get hurt as well as, say, the bigger organizations. You know, we're here for the public. So I think if we don't, we're going to be doing a lot of backpedaling as to explaining to the public why we're not. Not everybody has access to the computer to make submissions. My only question would be, if we do this, and the committee decides we decide to do this, can we have that sixth weekend? Because we're learning so much, so to give up a weekend, I think we're going to need that other weekend too.
And this is a question of fact. By the way, I do want you to dialogue with each other, not just like myself, with other assembly members. But the answer to that, Tay, is yes. I've asked Leo that. It's in the budget. We can't have that sixth weekend. It's there. Margaret.
I want to speak in favor of this motion. I think that we need to hear from interest groups. This politics governance is about the coming together of different interests and resolving the differences between them. And I think that it's important that we offer an opportunity in this room to hear those interests. I want to know what each of the parties thinks about this, what they think they'll gain from this, what they think they might lose from this. I think those we're looking at the criterion of the impact on political process as we deliberate about these various alternatives. And I think it's important that we listen to the groups that feel that they will be most strongly impacted, the parties, and other interested groups in the province. I also think that listening to presentations together as a whole group just before we begin our final deliberations will allow us to begin that process with some common, fresh background and some points to debate. So I hope that we will welcome presentations.
Amanda.
Hi. I was originally really set against the presentations, not against the public hearings. I really think that that was a very good venue. My concern was, I was especially concerned because I thought that they could bypass, because why would they want to present in a hearing when they could actually present to the whole assembly? I did not realize that they can't bypass that, and so now I'm leaning more against or more towards the presentations as a whole, but I still need a little bit more convincing. So if I was concerned because I thought that people would say, well, hey, it's inferior to do the public hearings, because the whole group, that was the goal, they wanted to win to be able to do that. So,
Alan? Where's Alan?
I am in favor of presentations as well, and I'd like the Assembly to give some thought to, as we access the public, we're meeting in Prince George to discuss our public hearings. Perhaps part of that agenda could be for the people of the North, if we could hear some submissions as a whole in Prince George. Again, I would think that would be taking it to the people, and for the people of the North who wanted to talk to us, we're there. They can't get down to Vancouver without cost. Thank you.
Mo.
I'm in favor of this suggestion for one other reason. It's not only being inclusive and clear and transparent, but whatever recommendation we make in December, we have to sell it to the people of BC, and the proof will be in the pudding, so to speak, because you have to sell the recommendation. If not, when it goes to the referendum, they have the chance of voting yes or no. So if we appear and we are open and they can participate fully in these things, we can get rid of a lot of roadblocks and build the consensus for people to buy into whatever recommendations that we'll be presenting to them. That's all I have to say.
Daryl?
Two things. The advocacy groups or organizations presenting at the public hearings, I don't particularly like that idea personally. I like the idea of those public hearings being an opportunity for the assembly to talk to the general public out there about what it is we are doing. And the second issue deals with subsidies provided to advocacy groups to come to Vancouver to make presentations. I think if they want to do that, that they should be able to subsidize their own travel and accommodation down here.
Just as a point of fact, there, our mandate, by the way, in terms of the public hearings, is that, Daryl, we are required to listen to groups to come and talk to us and give us their views about what they think about our mandate is. And I will let others comment about what do you call them, advocacy groups, interest groups. I just make the observation, for some reason, they seem like they're talked about as if they're unclean.
Yeah.
And that advocacy groups created our democracy. So I'll let others comment on that, but I just find that odd. Yes.
I guess, Jack, I'm looking at this. I'm seeing groups of people coming to the public hearings, and I look at the public hearings as being individuals from the public. Just the average Joe that wants to find out what this is all about.
They sure can come. We hope they do.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Just give the next four people, RB, followed by Mary, then Chris Anderson, followed by Bill. So, RB.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, members of the Assembly. I also read the comments made by various members on the website. It was very interesting and very healthy, as you said, Mr. Chairman. Now, I also want to look at it in a very different perspective. You all will agree, ideally, it would be very nice if we can be present at all the public hearings as a group, so that we hear together all the presentations made by the public. But we all know that this is not a practical proposition. Then, should we not ask the basic question, a fundamental question? Is there any way we, as a group, can hear together at least the most important presentations that matter to our process? So, if we can find a fair and reasonable way of doing this, I'm sure there's no one outside going to blame us for anything. Now, at the same time, I want to ask my fellow members, are we not confident about ourselves, our ability to make decisions on an issue like this? Hey, we are going to make more decisions on more important things as we proceed. So, then I would say our discussion on this important issue really boils down to not so much as to whether or not we should allow some groups to make presentations to our plenary sessions, but to the reasonableness of the criteria proposed for selecting the persons and groups to come here. Well, if we need to talk more about the criteria, we should do that. And personally, I think this criteria proposed look extremely good. It will bring into the assembly only those presentations that are very special and worthy of listening as a group. Now, I, however, have one comment on the draft recommendation. It is about the heading that is there on top of the document. It says presentations or presentation to the citizens' assembly by persons and organizations who want to influence assembly decision. I mean, everything what we talk, we influence. Right now, what I'm trying to do is influence you. So, when we say that who want to influence the assembly, it can be misread, not today, but at a later time, during our process. It may sound as if we are going to invite somebody who should not be invited, or that someone or some groups that may unduly influence us. It is not what we mean. I know the intentions are good. So I think if you remove that second part and just say presentations to the citizens' assembly by persons and organizations would be fine. And perhaps presentations to the plenary session of the citizens' assembly by persons and groups. That's just a suggestion. Now, finally, all what I want to say here is, here, my dear members, it's an opportunity. Let's grab it. It will help us in what we're trying to do in our deliberations in the fall. Right, I don't want to take a lot of time because I know a lot of people are going to speak. Thank you.
Brad has made a good point. Let's hear the next speaker, someone who is wants to take a contrary position, that is, does not support the recommendation. We have a speaker's list, but John? Are you speaking against the recommendation?
My idea, many of these recommendations are coming from different interest groups, and some of them or most of them are recommendation alike, similar. So should not be not allowed to screen previously all these recommendations and the similar ones that cannot be heard. It cannot be, it's no time to hear everybody who got idea. And similar ideas has to be only one of them here. It doesn't matter. It might be in some areas you got 40, 50 recommendations and it could not be heard. You have to screen somehow because time is the essence of the whole. We have no time for those things. And as undemocratic it seems to be, everybody have a right to talk, but if you talk the same agenda, one or two of these recommendations should be only accepted. And somehow you should screen them which are alike.
Okay. Speak against.
So first we'll have Ian, followed by Donna.
Yeah.
Good morning. My concern is for the little people that are in the middle of Timbuktu that will feel that their voice isn't heard here at the Assembly. With the technologies that's available today, depending on your website size, it would be very easy to record each week the group that is presented, do it in MPEG-2, and then present it on the web. We could then view it at home and hear the voice of the people from around the province. Then at the end of each week, you could delete those presentations and add the new presentations. So that way, not any one group is going to feel that they weren't heard, because that will be a challenge come down the road where people will feel that their voice wasn't heard at the Assembly.
Brad would like to respond to that.
Speaking in favor of the motion, I think the smaller groups will be an advantage if we do have an all-assembly presentation, in that a lot of the larger organized groups will be able to have presentations at all the hearings. And they're well-funded, they can be organized, but the smaller individual who has a great presentation will have an opportunity to be heard by all members at this venue. So again, I support the recommendation, because it actually helps the smaller groups.
I've just been asked by our communications person, would you please speak directly into the microphone, because it's not being heard by everybody. Thank you very much. The next person, Donna Dew. Where is Donna?
Right there. Here. I guess I'm the only one against it. I just feel that there's 48 public hearings for people to come out and speak to us, you know, how they feel. And there's online submissions. You know, that's just how I feel.
Thank you. The next person.
Mary Jarbeck.
Mary Jarbeck.
Good morning. I support the recommendation, because I feel that we need to hear all of our constituents in our area as well as around BC. This has been an interesting weekend. I think we've debated this issue at every breakfast and lunch and dinner table that we've been at over the weekend, and it's been very interesting. And at the end of the day, the majority of the folks have decided that they would like to hear as many submissions as we can. How we do that in a fair manner, it seems that we're already in the process of doing that, perhaps even by random draw as well, the same as we were chosen. That might eliminate a lot of the, I shouldn't say eliminate, but it might shortlist the folks that are going to make submissions to us. But I support the recommendation, and I do agree with the gentleman back here who said that perhaps we could include some of these submissions at the June meeting in Prince George, and that would, in fact, bring the North inclusive up there.
Okay.
Chris Anderson.
Well, I have to admit that leaving the last session 2 weeks ago, as I drove up to the ferry with Diana and Art, we had a lively discussion on the way to the ferry, and at the time, as I interpreted, the recommendation, I was very much against it. I was afraid that we were bringing political views into the assembly, and I don't think it has, or political opinions in here from outside. I didn't think it had a place here. However, as we discussed the issue on the web, and as we got more information on the revised form of the recommendation, I have to admit that my very hard stand against the recommendation has been softened greatly. And there's many aspects of the change to the recommendations that has made it, in my opinion, much more inclusive for members of the public throughout the province. And to hear that we may have a possibility to actually inviting some of the northern submitters to address us in Prince George, I think that's very attractive. Thank you.
Bill Jackson.
Last week I also spoke against the motion, and basically for the same reasons that Chris has just enumerated. I was fearful that there would be an appearance of some groups getting two kicks at the cat, both in the small hearings and before the assembly as a whole. However, I've come to the conclusion now that with the screening criteria as suggested, there is some process to make it fairer and not just fairer, but to appear fair, which I think is very important. So I would now support recommendation 3. Thank you.
Yes, any responses?
Okay, so we have 2 responses, Amanda Medley and Margaret Anderson.
My response is to Mary and Chris, or no, one of the gentlemen over there. Anyway, I don't think that they should have the hearings from the public in Prince George when we were there, because the committee to select groups would not have been formed and been able to determine who gets to speak at those ones.
Mary? Hardy, do you want to respond to that?
Sorry, Margaret was going to respond.
Oh, okay, let Margaret first. Margaret, please, thanks.
I think I was going to make much the same point, that if we're going to follow this procedure of selecting people, then we won't have had that procedure until after the last weekend in June when we meet in Prince George, so we would have to find a different mechanism for selecting people to present in the north. And I think that has some attraction to do it there in front of the northern public, but it doesn't fit in under this recommendation. I think we should deal with it separately.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll take 3 responses after a comment, and then we'll get back to the speakers list. So I have many of you on the speakers list. Harley will respond. Thank you.
One of my strong goals, and I've been against this recommendation, and that's because it sort of has conflict with the public forums. Now, we've addressed a lot of that, and it tends to blend well, but ultimately, for me, I like the goal of having some of the northern presenters at that northern meeting. I also like the timing of the fact that we're not delayed 2 months after the public forums. My ideal goal would be to have all the presentations at the June meeting, but I don't think that's practical under this process. Timing for me, and many of you know I've spoken on that, is there's a lot of flaws in the timing for me. The September first weekend meeting is going to be another media fiasco here. We're going to have tons of media. I don't know if it's right for us to sort of add to that idea of at the time when the proposal was first presented, we didn't know who and what the criteria was, so it was a pretty scary proposition to have the presentations when we hadn't met for 5 months and we didn't know who the presenters were and we hadn't had a chance to ground ourselves to meet with and talk to ourselves and each other and have a chance to review the process. We have a bunch of that in place, but I still remind everybody that we have July and August that we're still apart. And we'll get into the logistics, but I still think the idea of hearing presentations in June would be nice, and I agree, let's talk about that. But I'd also like to talk about moving the meetings in September away from that first weekend.
Thank you.
Back to the list, Anne.
Thank you.
I'm in full support of the presentations to the Citizens Assembly. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank all the members that took time to discuss this on the forum. A lot of good ideas came out of that, and thank you for fleshing out the best of the ideas for the recommendation. I have a recommendation that I'd like to add to the application process, though. One of the ideas that was made was that if we see a really good presentation at the smaller meetings, that we should be able to recommend them to be presented to the Assembly. And I'd like to see that added back, because I thought that was a really good idea to make sure that the really good presentations aren't lost when they're just written out on a piece of paper and that we do all get to see the best ones. I also have an issue with the timing. We will be seeing a few of the small meetings, the presentations, and then we're going to have a summary of those, and we'll be able to have a chance to discuss them. But then there's going to be one more presentation in September. And it seems like, so I have an issue with a little bit of the timing, that we'll review them, discuss them, and then we have more presentations. Although I have full trust in the group that's selected to pull those, that they would make the, that you would pull the best ones to give us a summary at the end of, in September. So I guess my only concern is that we have a summary of those in September, because I have a little issue about the timing. It seems like a little bit of a preferential timing just at the beginning of our next session. So, thank you.
Captain.
Wolf Schultz.
Gentlemen and ladies, I was the original guy who outright stated I am against it. I like to qualify. I am against it for having it in this room. We have to have one room where we can act neutral without interference on that. And otherwise, I support the recommendation as it is adjusted. Thank you.
Craig Henschel.
Craig?
Sorry. Oh, sorry. Wrong last name. Craig Peterson.
That's my brother you're talking about there. I kind of think we're complicating the matter too much. The question is going to really come down to, at least I thought the whole reason this discussion started was because the concept of someone in one of the smaller meetings seeing a presentation that was really outstanding. And isn't that the reason that we're all discussing this? Is that the idea being that somebody else or the whole group can see that same presentation? Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
George, did you have a response?
I'll keep it short. I think that it's our duty as assembly members to listen to all, as many as we can possibly listen to. We're limiting our education on the subject if we don't. And we represent all British Columbians, so we should listen to as many as possible. I agree with the...
Wolf had a response?
No. Wants to speak.
A response was Shoney, and David, was yours a response, or you just like to speak? Okay. Thank you.
I just wanted to speak to the notion of preferential treatment or timing and the idea that we would listen to the best. And I sort of have I'm in favor of recommendation three, but I wouldn't characterize it like that, because I see it more as we're going to get an opportunity to listen to a composite of all the ideas that were put out there. We're going to have been, there's going to be some time lag since the last of the hearings and since our last meeting in Prince George. This is an opportunity to come together again and say, what were the key ideas that were out there? Because there are going to be some commonalities that groups are going to hit on, so we can say this is sort of a snapshot of what we were hearing. It will be a good thing to get our conversation going again and sort of remind us of what the key points were. With us being the selection committee, we're not having imposed upon us who we hear. We can choose not necessarily the best or the most important, because that implies the others aren't important, but simply something that will act as a really good learning tool for us to get started on our work again.
I'm just noticing the time, and so while we have quite a few more people on the speakers list, I encourage everyone to try and be concise so we can have as many voices as possible.
Probably going to go for another 10 minutes or so, and then we'll probably take a call a question.
And so I've got about 10 people on the list, so if you could be concise, that would be great. Rob Jones.
Yes, I don't know how many of you actually spoke to other people about this at all. I'm a courier, and it's been a slow couple of weeks, so I had lots of chances to talk to people around my town and question them about it. I was really surprised that none of them, not one, said we should see have these groups and or individuals speak to us as a group. They all felt that that basically everybody has a chance to go to one or all the public sessions. And unless we had a chance to listen to all the people who wish to address the assembly, they felt that none of them should be able to address the assembly. Also, one of the things that they presented to me was that not only does the process need to be fair, but it needs to be perceived to be fair. And if we were giving these individuals and or groups a chance to speak to us as a whole after the open sessions, then we would be skewing that perception. Also, a lot of what they said, too, was that if these presentations are after the open the open presentations for everybody, that often the last thing you hear is what you remember. And you may not get a chance to remember all the stuff that you heard before. Anyways, thank you.
A response by Harley.
Yeah, I'll second that. I've had the same kind of reaction from the public. I'm trying to be neutral to present it, too. I'll also add that the younger the person that you present this to, the quicker they come to that conclusion. Also, I was going to ask, we're going to talk about some of the exceptions at the end still, or do we...
Sorry, Harley, what was the question?
On some of the points that you brought up earlier, were we still going to respond to those at the end?
You can... No, talk to them now. My hunch is that we will deal with those over the next few days, and people can write in and say what we like as we draft the final recommendation.
We'll take two responses to this, Leanne and Jack, followed by Rob, who will get a chance to respond.
Go ahead. Everyone that I've spoken to in the public has said the same thing that Rob was talking about. No one is in support of this recommendation of the people in the public that I've spoken to. So I just wanted that said.
Jack?
Okay, good morning, Chairman and CEA member. And my opinion is about the presentation for the public. So I'm in favor of the recommendation 3, and because and if we hear BC citizens' voice, and in the future they will participate in our activities, and they may participate in referendums as well. And I think and there are two small problems we need to consider. First, if we have more paper rich in our desk, on our desk, and we may consider use more time or meeting time to hear their presentations, or even we can use the website to publish their presentations. And another possibility is people may not active to attend this kind of activity. And then in this moment, in this situation, we can issue the invitation for them. And I know this kind of public hearing or presentation is expensive. We need to increase the meeting expense, and even the I'm considering even the honorarium for our presentation committee member as well. So that's all.
Jill Riley.
Pardon me. Yeah, Brad would like to respond to both of those last two.
Okay.
quickly just want to respond to both Rob and Leanne's comments and speaking to their constituents and saying that they weren't in favor. Just a matter of part of the selection criteria, we're going to hear balanced presentations from all different sides. So although we're going to hear the best of the best, hopefully, or in our opinion, best of the best, you're going to hear both sides. So it's not just one side that's going to be presenting to us.
Leanne and Rob, I guess, want to respond. Then let's
it wasn't a matter. It wasn't a matter of sides. It was just a matter as a whole. Period. That they weren't in favor. That there was already a forum for that, the public hearings. That was the forum, and that it wasn't necessary to take time away from us, no matter how balanced or what sides it is. That wasn't the case.
Now, quickly, Rob, okay? Because we're really running out of time.
The people that I spoke to, too, which was substantial, had to be at least about like 50 to 75 people at least, also indicated that that if we did choose to review what they were saying, we had the opportunity through the summaries that we were getting from the open forums. And like Leanne said, they didn't really care whose side, it was anybody. It didn't matter what political stripe or persuasion you had.
Okay, we've got about 14 people on the list, and we're going to. I've already asked Ken. I'm told Ken's given me about 10 minutes of his time. So we're going to. But my hunch is that unless it's absolutely pressing or to a point, we're going to try and get through these 14 quickly, and then probably call the question.
Jill Riley.
Okay, super fast. I just wanted to comment on the concern about advocacy groups and special interest. I personally don't understand that concern. All advocacy groups are speaking on behalf of individuals. It's just we're hearing one person speak instead of 10, 100, whatever. So I don't have a problem with that at all.
Sherry Mostrovich.
Hi, I just think we have nothing to be afraid of. Why don't we open our minds and our eyes, and maybe we'll learn something new in that first week, and that's what we're here to do. We're not here to shut out ideas, so I think we should consider it.
Julie Bomer.
I want to speak in favor of the recommendation. I agree with RB that the word influence could have negative connotations. I wondered about the selection time for the subcommittee. I think having a subcommittee is really important. And I do think that there's a huge value in actually seeing if a selection committee, if this is a recommendation that's adopted, of actually having the opportunity to see a presentation that you might not have otherwise seen. I think reading about it is one thing, but actually seeing it is another. So I'm fully in favor of this. The only thing that I wondered about was the timing in July of the selection of the subcommittee, and with regard to any presentations in Prince George, it would become impossible. Thank you.
Fred Beyer.
Yes, I believe there's a little bit too much concern about presentations and whether they will influence us and all that. I think that's our mandate, that we the public hearings as well as presentations to the Assembly, we are still in the learning process, and I think that we should plan on listening rather than what we are going to present to people at the public hearings. I hear all these expressions, and I'm somewhat concerned about this. I think we should keep an open mind and just listen, never mind making up our minds about anything. Listen, learn, and we'll have a chance to deliberate in September. And I am in favor of this recommendation number 3. Thank you.
Lana Donnelly.
Hi, I'm also in favor of recommendation number 3, but I'm having a bit of a struggle with the subcommittee, thinking that is it fair to choose which public group that we would like to listen to? And I'm also thinking that maybe we could have a random draw to choose, making it more fair.
Vicki Going would like to respond to that.
In regard to the public hearings, I think that on a level they're all very important to every constituency. And I think if we kept that level of importance there and heard all the views and then perhaps chose through the discussion forum on the internet what submissions are most likely ones that we're going to look at, what ones are most, you know, like our mandate, and then choose those ones to be ones that are presented to the Assembly as a whole, because I think then that's being presented to more of our ideas of what we might want as British Columbians. So.
John Zoll.
I have one concern, and I'll make this quick. What happens if we get a flood of credible and worthy applications? And who do we eliminate, or do we get extra time to hear them?
RB wanted to respond. RB, did you want to respond?
Quickly, RB.
Okay. Thanks. There are a few things here. Now, Gary asked a question, and a few others talk about the same thing. The most important thing is, I think the process is proposed to get the best of the presentations made at the public hearings to the Assembly. I think that's our understanding. And second thing is, what is that we are trying to do here? Now, Ken and Campbell were influencing us over the last 3 weekends. I mean, what I'm trying to say is we have learned a lot from them. And now these are the academics, the experts, putting their experts' points of view on the subject that we are trying to take some decisions on. And here we are talking about special presentations, or the most important presentation, perhaps from the people who have spent a great deal of time and effort in preparing outstanding submissions. Are we not? Is it a bad idea to listen to them after listening to all these experts' opinions to get the practical side of it, the practical experience side of it? So I think it's a great idea to get this opportunity. Let's grab it. And finally, someone was suggesting, I think it was Cheryl, why not we, having identified these special presentations at the public hearings, why not this committee select which presentations to finally come here on a random basis, I think it's not a good idea. The committee is our committee. Don't we have faith in ourselves and our committee? Our committee should look at them and then try to understand. And are we not capable of making decisions? So I think let the committee decide, on our behalf, what should finally come here to the stage. Thank you.
Thanks, RB.
Sam. Okay. So in the essence of time,
put your mic on. Sorry. If you have the same.
RB pretty well said, far more eloquently than I could ever hope to put it together. I don't think it's necessary that we have a committee. We weren't picked by a committee. We were picked because our names were drawn out of a hat. Nobody checked to see whether we had eloquent presentations or had money behind us or whatever. We were just picked at random. And I think that in the spirit of the Assembly, those people, regardless, should be picked at random. That's just how I feel.
Susan Johnson.
It's been a long time. Anyways, as for holding a public hearing in Prince George that weekend, can we not let the public know, say, for Friday night and Saturday night?
Julie, did you want to respond?
I just want to respond to the fact that we don't have a lot of time, and I think that one of the jobs that our administration here has to do is to figure out a way that we can, as quickly, efficiently, and fairly, come to some sort of a consensus. And I think that RB really hit it on the head. I think that picking a subcommittee randomly is the only fair way to go. I think that the forum, if we had a long time, it would be a great idea. But I think that we have to look for efficiency. And I think that a subcommittee to look at, to review all of the submissions at the public hearing is the, in my opinion, the only way to go, and that's efficiency. And the one point that I wanted to bring up that I forgot to before is that if we are going to go with this meeting and if we do go ahead with the submissions in September, would it be possible to have a summary of the submissions from the public hearings for all people to view over the summer and not right in September? Thank you.
I think that's the plan. We're not going to take any more questions. If you call the question. You ready for the question? I think there's a consensus, I think, building to call the question. I could read body language, too. So, the question is, it's a recommendation, in principle, recommendation 3, with the idea that we will take everything that we have heard here and then come back with a final resolution. But the in principle recommendation includes that we will hear presentations in September, the first week in September. Secondly, that we will establish a subcommittee of the assembly, chosen next time we meet, by the way, which will review all those who apply. We will also include a set of criteria by which the committee will use in making their selections. In essence, that's the motion, the in-principle motion. All those who are in favor of recommendation 3 in principle, please raise your hand. All those opposed, recommendation 3 in principle applies. Thank you very much for the debate. It's been wonderful.